Pastor Nsiki, please come to the front. We're very excited to hear what God has laid in your heart. And can we just quickly pray for the message? Okay, Father God, we just thank you for having such a man of God here with us. Father, we pray, Lord, that you'll just bless the words of his mouth, Father, and you yeah, just give him words of inspiration, Father, for us, Lord. Really, Father, we just want to connect to what you're doing in the Cape Town as a whole, Father. And so we're excited to what you're going to be saying through him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Ek groet almal in die naam van die Here. Well, I'm not going to preach in Afrikaans, but I can. It's just that the Spirit doesn't allow me to preach in Afrikaans this evening. I want to thank pastors in the church and the leadership and every one of you, ladies and gentlemen, to really receive myself and Douglas Dubrain. He's one of the guys in our church. Thank you so much. It's a very huge responsibility for me to come and stand and share with you what the Lord has laid in my heart. You know, I have decided to honor the call when Pastor Thiens asked me to come and share in this wonderful church. That I believe God is doing something amazing here. I think this is my fourth time, my memory serves me well, to visit this wonderful church. And every time I'm here, I'm really blessed. The worship really helps us to connect with God. You know, sometimes if you are in a church, you tend to see a lot of things that you're not supposed to see. When people are worshiping, you know, and because you have to minister at the same time. And I'm sitting there and I'm just not waging any spiritual warfare, because I believe intercessors are doing that as we speak in this church. So I just relax, just drinking as much as I can. Amen. I'm just going to be encouraging all of us. You know, the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. So I'm not one of Dougie knows. I'm not one of those preachers who come with huge and scary revelations. You know, I just believe that Jesus was so simple. So simple, that's why he taught us in parables, so that we can understand what he was talking about. He didn't come and speak a heavenly language that you wouldn't even have a clue of what he would be saying. So I believe in simplicity, and they say sometimes it is the highest form of complexity. The more you are simple, the more people sometimes get confused. But I know I'm privileged to stand before people who are illuminated by the Spirit of the Lord to understand the things of the Spirit. Amen. We are indeed planting churches as the Lord leads us. And we have been working in Joslova for quite some time now. We have home cells there running. And I just want to, just like the lady who was encouraging us in praying and praying for those who are going to be embarking on this wonderful missions to go to Joslovo. It's a beautiful place. You need not fear anything. And I think you said it nicely. We are not given the spirit of timidity, but spirit of love, power, and sound mind. So all those who are going to be going to Joslovo, you know, go there with that verse in mind. There's nothing that you have to fear there. You know, there are people staying there. So I know that you are not fearing me. So you're going to meet people like me there. So nothing to fear, you know. And they need Jesus like you wouldn't believe. We know we've been working there in that area. There's such a great hunger for God, and there's a need for the gospel. The true gospel, untainted, undiluted gospel, to be preached among the people there. And they will receive you. Amen. And some of our guys are going to be joining you. You know, you know, somebody said, you know, this color blogging thing was the thing of the 2012. Now we're in 2013, but we're just going to be color blogging. Okay. Okay, so we're going to be a nice blend. So our some of our guys in our church are going to be there with you, submitting to whatever you're going to be doing there. And unfortunately, my wife and I and some folks are not going to be around because we're going to be in Port Elizabeth this coming weekend. But we know, we trust that you are going there with the Spirit of the Lord, and you're going to minister under the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I just wanted to just encourage you on what you are already doing. I noticed when we came in, there was something on the display there about loving the city. Just a bit of very short testimony. You know, in my secular work, I've been in broadcasting, secular broadcasting for about 22 years with the then Transkei Broadcasting Corporation and later SABC. I know some of you are allergic to that name, SABC. Okay. Now, so my line of work was really taking me places in South Africa. And I was born in the Transkei, but I grew up in KZN. And then in 1994, I went back to Mthatha to establish myself there, you know. But there's one thing that I used to avoid. It was to come to Cape Town. You know, my father was a reverend in a church that they used to call Reformed Presbyterian Church. So they were reformers, and I used to engage him before he left us to be with the Lord. So we grew up, we were very political, you know, in my family. And one day when I meet my father, I'll ask him, why did you get us into trouble with Chief Gachabu Telezi and his troops and everybody else? I grew up understanding a bit of history about South Africa. Now, when it comes to Cape Town, I will refuse literally to come to Cape Town. Even if I had an assignment to come and do in Cape Town, but I would find somebody else to take my place. But I would go everywhere else, but not Cape Town. So when in 1998, you know, we were busy in Mthatha, planting churches and Mthatha Christian Church and all that. And there was kind of like an Abrahamic call over my life and my wife's life to come to Cape Town. You know, I took about a week not eating. I fasted out of wrong motives, really, I must confess, because I was angry with God, you know. So when after 7 days, I went to my senior pastor, and when I called him to say, can I have an appointment with you? We were so close, you know, we were a team. So he gave me an appointment, came into his office, and already he was there. He looked at me in the eye. And he just nodded. I didn't say anything then. He just nodded. He looked at me and said, okay, now go ahead. I thought, already I could just sense what he was saying. So I told him, look, hey, there's this thing that I have to go to Cape Town. And it was via the very same SABC that I did not like. I grew up listening to Capital Radio. Then those who were around at the time. You know, so I had nothing to do with SABC, in fact. And now through integration, you know, the abolishment of the TPVC broadcasters, I was forced to be part of the SABC. I was forced, literally. So I wanted to resign, I wanted to quit. I came back home to tell my wife, listen, I'm so angry. She asked me why, because I'm taken on board by the SABC. It was kind of a funny thing. But anyway, so that was the second bite of the cherry. The SABC that I didn't want to be part of in 1996, and then now the very same SABC is forcing me to come to Cape Town, otherwise I lose everything. Then you know, after that time of prayer, then you know, my wife was the first one to hear from the Lord saying, "Now, go to Cape Town." I said, "You're kidding me." No, that's what the Lord told me. Go to Cape Town. Praise God for wives. Anyway, she's my supporter, you know. She will have to do it if I don't do it. You know what I mean, in the Bible. Okay, now to cut the whole story short, my pastor then said, okay, yeah, no, go. If that's what you believe, the Lord is saying to you, go. Now, I came to Cape Town. We had a car, so I left my car and everything. I said, I want to take a bus. My first trip to Cape Town, I want to take a bus, you know. So I had to convert my flight ticket to a bus. The reason why, it's simple. I was just praying and saying, Lord, between Umtata and East London, you must say something. If you don't, to PE. If not, to George. And whatever town that I'm going to meet on my way to Cape Town. But then, unfortunately, I fell asleep. By the time I woke up, it was about 3 in the morning, 3 or 4 in the morning. And I thought we were in Cape Town because bus was just in one of the towns, I can't remember. But then, when the bus left that town towards Cape Town, it was about Cape Town 210. I said, Lord, no, man. No, this place. So I took a bus so that if the Lord says something, I'll jump out and get the other one back. But the Lord just kept quiet until I came to Cape Town. So that's how I landed in Cape Town. For quite a number of months, about 3 or 4 months, I was just praying, asking God, why did you send me here? Because it was tough, and I had to live in Table View in 1998. to be quite honest, the only skin color, the same skin color as mine that I saw, I usually saw them in the morning and late. So I knew, okay, these are mamas and daddies who are coming to work and then they're going home. Other than that, no. So I was fine with it because I didn't have a problem. God has sorted me out. Where am I going with this story? You know, God can easily tell you to go where you don't want to go and to do something that you don't want to do. And if going to Joslovo is something that you don't want to do and you're scared, you are in the right space. You are in the right space. And one of the things that I had to pray to God was exactly what was on there. Lord, give me the love for this town that I used to hate. I used to dislike Cape Town. But give me love for this town. So after a month or so, my wife had to come back from Mtata to come, you know, and stay with us in Cape Town. And then she made a statement that really changed my mind. She said, you know what? I want to grow old in this city. To me, that was it. I thought, yeah, no, Lord, you talk in funny ways sometimes. That was it. So I developed love for the city. From time to time, Doug would know. Most people who grew up in Cape Town really do not know Cape Town, especially if you are on the other side of N2. They don't know Cape Town. Now, here's a stranger coming. I almost know every place in Cape Town. I would drive to all kinds of Komochi, is it Komochi? Yeah, but I would drive to those places, you know. With my boys at the time and my wife, you know, I would say, let's get out of the car, let's look at this town, you know. And the only prayer that I was praying, Lord, give me love for the city. And that continued and continued. Now I'm loving Cape Town. Everybody, when I go back to the Eastern Cape, I'm just telling them, listen, I'm just here for a visit. My home is in Cape Town. Because I love Cape Town with all of my heart. What is it that I love about Cape Town? It's not necessarily about infrastructure. I know we have the best infrastructure in the world, but I love people in Cape Town. I love people, black, yellow, white, maroon, pink, whatever. You know, whether you belong to the pink calendar or you're not, I just love you. That's it, you know. And then I will then engage you, no matter what space you operate in. But I just love Cape Town. My love is not discriminatory when it comes to Cape Town. It's just to love everybody and pray for everybody. I don't pray for people to be in my church or in our church. No, I just pray people to be saved. That's it. You know? And I have a couple of questions that I really ask myself and I ask some folks in our church. For instance, and that these are the questions that I'm going to just throw and maybe you're going to interrogate them as we go along. What are the believers supposed to be preoccupied with? We almost all are believers here, isn't it? What are we supposed to be preoccupied with? What must take most of our time? The second question, are we supposed to spend our efforts building the church? Is that our job assignment? If I remember well in the Bible, it's only Jesus who said, I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall never prevail against my church. But in most cases, I've found that we are busy building the church. And we want Jesus to go and evangelize. No, ladies and gentlemen, it's the other way around. Okay. Now, another third question. Are we supposed to Christianize the world or evangelize the world? These are questions that I always interrogate, and I always ask myself, where am I in terms of the responses that I get from the Holy Spirit when I ask these questions? Then what is there for every believer to do, really? What are we called to do? If you don't mind, let's turn our Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians. When I arrive here, and it's the second time that I'm preaching in this church, I'm always asked, do you have something on PowerPoint? And I will always give the same answer. Hallelujah. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. If you can just stop there. We all know that is Paul that is talking under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But Paul is mentioning some stuff here that I think all of us need to take care of. He says, we are ambassadors of Christ. We are all Christ ambassadors. If we are believers, we are ambassadors. And I know that all of us know what ambassadors do and where they live. Their mandate is to carry out the mandate of the president of the country from which they come. So they don't live anyhow. They don't just do things the way they want to do them. Even if they may disagree actually with the president of their country, but they are supposed to carry the mandate given to them. So the Bible says all of us as believers, we are ambassadors for Christ. And I believe that is the most noble assignment that we have been given under heaven. To be ambassadors of Jesus Christ, to stand in place of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to do his talking and to do his job. All of us. Because we have been equipped to do it. And if Jesus was at some point, he looked at us and his heart was filled with compassion and he cried for us, why can't we do it for the people of Cape Town? Irrespective of their geographical boundaries. But can't we do that? Can we emulate our Lord Jesus Christ? And I believe we can. We just perhaps need the heart of the Lord. Not just only his name, but also his heart. We are supposed to be ambassadors of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then Paul says, or implies, that we also must do ambassadorial work as though God is pleading with us. This job that we must do of being ambassadors, we must do it as though God is pleading with us to do it. God has given us his Holy Spirit. God has given us his word. And Romans 5:5 talks about the love of God being shed broad in our hearts by the power of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we have been given all things, good people, to do this kind of work that Jesus expects us to do. We have. We have the ability because we are anointed by the Holy Spirit. Naturally, we don't have the ability to do this kind of work. But under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, we can. We can. And we should do it as if God is standing before you and me and is pleading with us to go do it. It's like God is begging us. God is pushing us gently to go and do this work. You see, if we are believers, we all know that through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and his blood justifying us, you know, we have a place in the kingdom of God. We all know that. But what also we need to understand that we're going to pass through the Bema Seat of Judgment, so where our work is going to be evaluated. And therefore the Bible tells us that we will then be rewarded according to what we have done in the flesh. You know, some of us are so in the spirit. Some of us, not you, I'm just saying some of us from our church. You're not here. Some of us in our church, we are so in the spirit, we have become earthly useless. You know, we are so in the spirit, you know, it's like, wow. When we say amen, then, brethren, let's go. It's like the atmosphere changes. But not in Shofar Gardens, that I know. But you know what? If we can have this, if you don't have it, ask the Spirit of God to just give you this passion to do the work of the Lord, as though He is Himself pleading with you and me. And if we can only know that whatever kind of job or occupation we're doing at the moment, that will pass away. We all know that. That will come to an end. But the kind of work that we do in the name of the Lord will always be a monument before God. Will always stand for ages, for eternity before God. So we must preoccupy ourselves with the things, not of this earth, but things of heaven. Do it. Let's be passionate about it. Let's not be afraid. You see, in Joslovo, you're going to meet guys who are blacker than me, if there's something like that. You know, guys that when even I look at them, I said, wow, you know what? Yeah, that's a black man. At least I'm brown, you know, at least I'm brown, you know. But listen, you don't have to be scared of them. You're going to meet people who are very poor, you know. And you can show compassion, but not pity, but compassion. But remember that they need Christ more than they need anything. They need Jesus Christ, you know. I always say, wherever I go, I don't know why I forgot to mention it here. You know what? Even though Pastor, you introduced me as a pastor, sometimes it's easier for us pastors to think that we are holier than thou. Listen, I am a sinner. Terrible. Who's just been saved? That's all. That's what makes me holy. I'm a holy sinner. That's what I am. That's a paradox, eh? I'm a holy sinner. I'm holy because of what Jesus has done for me. I'm not standing in my own righteousness, which is like a filthy rag before God. I'm standing on the righteousness of Christ, upon whom God said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." I'm standing in Christ. That's all the difference. Take Christ away from me. Yo, I'll chase you away from me. My sister, your husband is a very loving husband, but hey, take Jesus away from him. Yo, can be a monster. Believe you me. You know, that's why we love with the love of the Lord. You know, we love with the love of the Lord. Sometimes, if he's honest with you, there are times when there is those tense moments, you know, those fellowship that are very tense, you know, those fellowship moments. You feel, he feels like, you know what, I think I've got better things to do. You know what I mean? He can hit the door and, you know. But the thing is that he then remembers all the time. Maybe not your husband, but I'm speaking for myself. I remember that, listen, by the way, I'm dealing with a sister in the Lord. My wife is my sister in the Lord. I'm just privileged to enjoy some stuff alone that other guys are not privileged to enjoy with her. But she remains my sister in the Lord. So I move from there. And then I embrace her. And I say, I'm sorry. I say, you know what? That's why you must pray for me. You know, because I'm not perfect, I will never stand and claim that I'm perfect. But because I'm standing in the righteousness of Christ, I've been justified by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. That's why I wouldn't do stuff that men without Christ usually do. So we must all understand that people even there in Joslovo, everywhere in Cape Town, that the Lord is going to send you. And I can tell you, some of you are going to be sent in places where you don't want to go. You just don't want to be there. and just be prepared. You know, Moses didn't want to go, actually. He had a burden in his heart, but he didn't want to go back there until God said, you know, you go there. Jonah in the Bible is the same thing. He didn't want to go where God wanted him to go. But at the end, life is not about, you and me. Life is about God. God has got his own plans, his own purpose, his own will. So our will must just be conformed to the will of the Lord, and we'll be safe. Amen. So ladies and gentlemen, listen, you are going to be sent to places where you don't want to go. And your flesh will scream. The comfort of your home will call begging, come back. But the Lord said, whoosh. So, who are you going to obey? The God of the flesh or the Almighty true God? We should make that call. But Paul says, as if God is pleading with us. And then, he then concluded by saying, you know, we must be busy with reconciling people through the finished work of Calvary. You know, nowadays there are a lot of stuff that is being preached, and Doug is my witness as well. In church, we just preach Jesus. Some people can say, you know what, Pastor, you know, whenever we switch on our television, we hear big stuff. Big stuff, you know, people with huge revelations. I like Pastor Fred because he likes that word, you know him, scary. And he has got sound bites in his mouth. You know him is like that, isn't it? You know. But you hear stuff that is being preached nowadays, and you know, sometimes I listen to some sermons and I'm just confused, and I ended up asking, what was the preacher preaching about? Only if he could just be simple, and preach reconciliation through Christ our Lord. That's all that people need. Good works, of course, should follow. I believe in good works because the Bible even teaches us so. But you know what? Let's understand what our mandate is, our primary mandate is. It's not to build Christian schools and Christian hospitals, and those things are good. You know, those things are good. But it is there to reconcile people with God. Building a Christian school, if it's going to open the door for you to reach out to the community, hallelujah. But in most cases, we go to communities where the Lord is not known. We build a Christian school and only we want to admit Christian children or children from Christian homes. Because it's like, you know. Instead of saying, you know what, every child, bring a child from an atheist, a Satanist, whatever, a witch, whatever you want to call it. Bring all of your kids here. Leave them with me. I'm going to give them sweets. Leave them with me. I'm going to feed them with nice sweets. By the time they hit home, they will be sweet. Amen? But you know what you are doing. You are sowing seeds. You're sowing seeds. You're sowing seeds of the gospel in them. You are praying for them. You are doing everything. Hallelujah. We must reconcile people with God through the finished work of Calvary. Every believer can do this. It's not for the selected few, the chosen few, the more anointed than others. No, it's all for us. Jesus has mandated all of us. Every one of us must personally be responsible to pass the gospel to somebody else. And you know what, one missionary said, you know what, nobody deserves to hear the gospel twice if there's somebody who has never heard it. And that's another thing that we do. We keep on hammering those who are saved, those who have heard the gospel. Find somebody who does not know Jesus. And it's simple, you know, it's simple. We go out. I go out with some guys and they know, you know, whether we're traveling, whether we do. If I come to you and I can shake your hand, if you are pulling a long face, yeah, I know that I have a field day. If I meet a guy who's like, you know, I remember one guy, Pastor, he was huge, you know. I'm not going to mention the race and all that, but he was huge and what. You know, so we are in this filling station, you know. So my kids were still, you know. So we're filling up petrol, so he's just next to my car. So, hey, I could look at this guy. And, yo, he was like, so I went up to him and said, hi, sir, how you doing? He said, are you a doctor? Okay, no, fine. But anyway, I said, sir, you are you angry about something? It's none of your business. I said, yeah, I know it's none of my business. But the problem is that you are angry at us, and that makes me my business. It really does. It's my business. If you want to hit somebody, hit me. Really, if you feel like killing somebody, kill me, sir. I'm ready to die now. He was so shocked. He was like, where are you from? Then that's how we started the conversation and all that and all that. I ended up saying, you know what? Cast all of cares unto Jesus, for he cares. It's then that he asked, are you a pastor? You know, and then I had to tell, you know, a decorated story. I said, well, I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. And I want to lead you to Christ now if you don't know Christ. Now, are you a pastor? I said, no, we're going to come back to that. You know, but anyway, even though he didn't give me a chance, but I said, okay, you know what, I've heard what you're saying. I said, yeah, you know, I'm just passing by in this town, but find a church or a pastor here that is known, has got a reputation. Go and talk to him about what you are going through. And that was it. I've sown a seed. Then when I was leaving, I said, yeah, I'm a pastor, by the way. And then, you know, I didn't want him to engage me on the basis of my calling, but on the as in a fivefold ministry, but on the basis of he's a human being, you know, engaging another one with love. Every one of us can do it. It's our responsibility. And it is a worldwide work of every believer. Matthew 28, 19, and 20, we all know that. Jesus commanded us to do it. Let's do it with joy. This is not a tough job. It's not tough in the sense that we should, like, bringing a burden to people. It should be a way of life. You are saved, right? You love the Lord, right? You are filled with the Holy Spirit. You are on your way to heaven, right? All of those things must give you joy. So you can't come to people angry and say, you must be saved. And then he will then say, you are the one who must get saved first. You see? So we must just enjoy sharing the gospel, you know, and come at people in their level. Amen. So Colossians 1:28, listen, the Bible says, so everyone, everywhere we go, we talk about Christ to all who will listen. You know, that's what Apostle Paul, we talk about Christ. That's what we should be talking about. At least we should not get this thing that we should be preaching. No, we talk about Christ. And people really listen when you talk about, when you engage them, than when you talk over them, when you engage them. So let's go out there and talk about Christ. If you can talk about rugby and cricket, that should be an icebreaker. Those should be icebreakers. And we guys, we talk about soccer, you know. But I've learned to talk about rugby because I'm mixed with anointed pastors here, so I talk about rugby and cricket and stuff, you know. But at the end of the day, if I have picked up that you don't know Christ, then my talk will change and point towards Christ. So we must learn to just talk everywhere we go, Paul says, everywhere we go. See, my family, actually my family wasn't saved. And they had a very negative attitude, you know, towards salvation. So every time I come, they had this preconceived idea that, oh, now here comes a pastor. I said, I'm not a pastor, I'm a son. Where's meat? I need meat and need this and that and that. You know, it took them a while to warm up to me. So now I can talk about them, about Christ to them, you know. And it's only my brother who is really not committed to Christ now. You know, we did a birthday for my mother's 70th birthday last year. You know, she's a staunch Reformed Presbyterian, you know. But when we we did it in East London, and it was, I mean, the presence of the Lord, you know, we're just worshiping and loving her and all that and all that, and we share something. My wife did something to her, actually, you know, that really, really broke her heart. And she stood there and her reply, she said, you know, now, I did not know the salvation of yours, but now I know it. That's my mom. Can you imagine doing an altar call to your mom? Now, mom, let's pray the sinner's prayer. You see? But it came to that point, I believe, through talking about Jesus. And not judging them, but talking about Jesus. And show them the love of the Lord. Amen? So let me just conclude by saying, you know, it doesn't matter the style that you use. I know, yeah, you are well taught about various styles of evangelism. You know, you could be direct as Peter. You know, just direct as Peter. And you know, you did that very assertive in Acts chapter 2. Or you can use an intellectual style. You know, there are people who never listen until you speak logic. And Paul mastered that, Acts 17. You know, he would argue logically. Or you can use a testimonial kind of an evangelism style. You know, like the blind man. Like, I'm going to tell you what Jesus did. I'm going to tell you something, you know, that will attest to Jesus. Or interpersonal. Like Matthew, the tax collector. I mean, that guy had interpersonal skills, you know. He was blessed in abundance. And I know some of us are so blessed here. Use that, you know. Just like God who asked Moses, Moses, what's in your hand? What do you have in your hand? Oh, I have a stick. Okay, now I'm going to use that. To me and you, it could be a stick, but to God, it can be a saving rod. Hallelujah. Or invitational, like a Samaritan woman in John 4. Hey, come, 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 come. Hey, come, let me show you a guy. Let me show you a man who told me stuff. So you can be invitational in your evangelism. As long as you're calling people. Jesus Christ said, go to the highways, byways, sideways, underways, whatever way. Just go there and invite them. Amen? And I know that you are so warm in this church. I don't know how many hands I shook here. You know? That's beautiful. Because, you know, when you come to us, we check you first. That's how we usually, you know. Even in church, you know, we always say to guys, please, you know, just go and greet somebody, you know. But usually, just said, I don't know that one. But here, we're warm, and I want to believe there's this spirit of in abundance here, of those who have this wonderful invitational spirit, you know, just like that Samaritan woman. Invite people. Some people will never come to church unless they're invited. Amen? Or serving, like Tabitha. You know, you could be serving others, and I applaud what you're going to do in Joe Slovo. Serving, playing, and all that, you know. Some people will come to the Lord because of that. Let me just close by quoting Mark 16:15. You all know this, the scripture I know. Jesus Christ is speaking here. Let's just read the scripture. Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Because some people sometimes say, you know what, I don't know where to start if I were to preach or share the good news to somebody. And some of us are very scared of people. And if you are scared of something that looks like you, I don't know. All right. Listen, Mark chapter 16, verse 15. Now, Jesus is talking. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Yeah, I like to be practical. Jesus Christ said, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creation. Some translations say, to every living thing. If you've got fear, one, or you don't know how to present the message, I know I can go to your homes, but one thing that is guaranteed, 95%, I will find a pet. Some are birds and others are rats. So if you visit us, don't bring those. If you visit a black family, don't bring rats and cats and, you know, even if you love them, or dogs, no, you know. But I know I can find a pet. Now, if you are afraid of preaching or sharing the gospel, or you don't know how to present facts, get your cat, preach, talk. Jesus Christ said to every living thing, start there, start somewhere. You know, if you are scared of dark-skinned people, get a black dog. Preach, talk. You guys who are like this, if you are scared of whiter or lighter-skinned people, you know, there's a lady, a friend of mine at SAPC, oh, she's so talkative, you know, she's Africana, she's an Africana. I said, no, man, you are closer, I'm Africana, you know, so. She said, when, I don't know, we were talking last week, and she said to me, you know what, I'm actually not white, I'm pink. Whew. Okay, doesn't matter, you know. So if you're scared of white or pink people, whatever you want to call it, just get a white rat. Reach. Start somewhere. Amen. You know what I mean. Start somewhere. Because you can start and practice and practice. I'm telling you, I used to stand in front of the mirror and preach to myself. I used to stand there and say, hey, you man in the mirror, you know. And I would go and I would go and I would go. And you know what? I would always get so condemned after that to say, you, what was I doing? People will never hear what I'm saying, you know. But I had to train myself just to talk about Jesus. Amen. Let's all get into this good habit of talking about Jesus. Matthew 24, verse 14, I think. He said, Jesus Christ said, then this gospel will be preached throughout the earth, and then the end shall come. Hallelujah. May the good Lord bless you. May you go out there and just talk about Jesus. And let me just tell you, just talk about Jesus. Leave the results to Him. Hallelujah. God bless you. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, thank you, Lord, that the things that you love most are sometimes the things that we despise. But those are available to you. Father, we are the chosen generation. You chose us, you trust us, you have given us an assignment. You've given us this beautiful city, Lord, that we should live in this city and do your work as your ambassadors. Father, we come in agreement here, Lord, that we sometimes fall short. And Lord, we just pray, Spirit of God, that you give us a heart for the city, a heart for people. Many are suffering, not because they don't have ABCD, but mainly because they don't have Christ. And Lord, I pray that you give us so much love in our hearts, so much love, that we will love unconditionally. And the same love that you had, Lord, let it be in our hearts. The same mind that was in Christ, let it be in us. Father God Almighty, let us be part of your plans. For your plans are good. Your plans are noble. Your plans are there to take each individual to an expected end. Help us, Lord. Fuse that in our lives, in our way of living. I pray, Lord, that every one of us will arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord has risen upon us. In the name of Jesus Christ, let us be the salt and the light, truly speaking. As we're going to go, Lord, out of this building, Lord, I just pray that we just be extension of your arm, extension of your heart, extension of your mind, extension of your eyes, extension of your feet, and extension of your heart. In Jesus' name. Amen.